Now, what? Don't worry. We're not taping what we're saying right now, right?
Yeah, we are. We're back on.
Okay, now watch what happens here. Watch what these men do.
Now, she disappeared, huh?
Yeah, she disappeared, which means they're going into their... We're now going into their dimension.
Yeah, now they're acting like the rabbits. They're just acting weird.
No, what they'll do is the guy in front...
But if you look at their mannerisms, they're moving like
right.
the rabbits.
But watch what's going to happen. You don't remember. The front guy turns the chair around. He sits down. The other guy sits down over on the right beside him. And then the third guy goes in the back where the woman does the ironing.
Right, exactly.
They're all in position.
Oh, and there they go, back into rabbit land.
Yeah. That makes total sense what's going on. That explains you what's going on here. You know what I mean?
Except the rabbit metaphor. I still don't know what the hell
it's going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland has rabbits. I wanted to find out something one day. Is that what you said?
Yeah, it was red.
It was red. It's a red chair. Red coat. Red lamps. See, they're trying to figure out what's going on, too. Or they're miming the humans trying to find out. Right? And so the rabbit always finds these humans funny as these guys imitate the questions that the humans have, right?
Right.
Making fun of the other groups. So he gets up. It's all red. That's an odd tone.
That's the sound of the phonograph in the beginning.
Telling of time. What time is it when the phonograph is speaking? So he mimes the timeless of the electric environment there, right?
Mm-hmm.
The time scattering. So who's this? Is it Laura?
This is Laura, yeah.
So when we saw Laura talking to the therapist. I don't know which Laura that was. Now we got this Laura. Yeah, see, that's the... Now we've got the beat-up Laura, see?
Yeah.
Is now getting close to connecting with the other Laura who's in the suburban house, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is like the metamorphosis, the transition.
Mm.
This is the effect of the
electrical short out or something.
Yeah, electrical effect, and this is the effect of the husband getting the gun.
Wow.
This is portending what's coming in the future, in this later on in an hour, because she's going to get killed.
Right.
Now they're all happy that she's returned to the same cycle. They recognize the cycle. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm a whore, she says.
But this looks like the suburban, skinnier head, suburban Laura, not the pissed off whore. Oh, well, no, maybe now she's becoming the pissed off Laura. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The mixture.
She's transitioning into the beat up.
Yeah. But she still remains slightly like the suburban skinnier head Laura. You know what I mean?
Right.
So she knows something's going to happen.
She's walking down Hollywood Boulevard.
Right. She's already screamed. She knows that
she's got a screwdriver.
Yeah. It's like she knows she has to go someplace with the screwdriver to set up herself being killed.
Right.
Now, the lyrics of the music, they're probably telling us something. We're getting close to the Carolina zone, or is that later?
No, getting close. What was that? She just saw herself grinning?
What'd you say?
Look at that. She sees herself grinning.
Right.
She's seeing the double, the reflection, or whatever.
Right, and this is what we saw 2 minutes ago, that the two of them were starting to come close.
Here's the woman who kills her coming across the street.
Yeah, I think you're right there, yeah.
Yeah.
But the point is that they're seeing...
Private property, no trust. There's the AXX.
Oh, that's the code. Yeah. That's the code, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is that the beat-up Laura and the suburban Laura are getting close to each other, right?
Yeah, right.
Now she sees someone's following her.
Right.
That seemed to be a zombie prostitute. Now, this one's worried on the phone.
Yeah.
The hardship of working all night at those hours.
Right.
Looking for a pimp or something. See, she's looking for an interaction with somebody.
Yeah, but she's also expressing the anxiety that's building up in Laura.
That's right, which is like Lynch showing the mood of ESP that's going on in a human group.
Yeah.
Like these people, they laugh when they saw her as if they kind of knew what was going on, but now they're acting it out.
Right.
Pretty good at showing stoned out, you know, junkie prostitutes.
Right.
Ah, now we're back in the 20s.
Yeah, that's weird.
With that same woman.
Hmm.
Now there's the one-legged woman. Well, she's going to be one-legged in a second. This one we're looking at here.
Yeah. Which, this is the woman who watches the TV.
Yeah, but see the old car behind her? It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
It might be like the 30s, 20s.
I don't know who that girl is.
Is he one leg? Oh, no.
No.
Moved it.
Yeah.
It looks like she has one leg, but she becomes one-legged.
For a moment, she was standing on one leg balancing.
Yeah. Later, she'll show up with the stick legs. Okay, now this is where the one on the right does the little finger thing. So this finger thing, this hypnosis... Hey, now, she's doing it back in the 20s.
Tell me if you know me before.
Now, this could be Laura, what she reincarnated. There's the finger distortion.
Oh, right.
And they're doing the same thing they did to Laura when she first went to the suburban house. The process made fun of her. Because she could be what Laura has reincarnated from.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing to her back in the 20s, what happened to Laura in the 90s, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Right.
In the suburban house. It's the same thing.
Right.
It's like an ongoing human dilemma. Look at me. It's like a thread going through.
Mm-hmm.
A group of souls that keep reincarnating with this dilemma. You know what I mean?
Somebody trying to kill me. Here's where she's trying to get in the club.
You see scenes like this on down in the ghettos, the rundown.
Yeah, she just did the Carolina.
Yeah, but this, you see people acting like this.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not unusual. Now, this gal on stage, I'm wondering if that's the gal who watches the TV also.
Right, and you were saying before. That looked like Carolyn. There's a slight thing there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have made that association if she didn't call her Carolina.
Right, right.
But,
But Carolyn could make herself look like this.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And she has black hair under that hat, you can see.
So we didn't see how she got in the club. Or did the guy let her in? Did we see the guy letting her in?
Yeah, well, she just runs by him. She kind of pushes her way in.
This is another red zone.
Yeah.
Red lamps.
Gurdjieff always described the red zones as like the hell worlds, I think. But that kind of burlesque comes out of the 20s, doesn't it?
Okay, now she's going to go into the theater and have Xenocrity.
Mm.
I think this is where it happens. There's her face. Isn't she walking into a theater?
Well, yeah, the red curtain.
The red arm. Remember I showed that?
Oh, that's right.
And this very scene of her walking through the curtains was what we saw an hour or more ago.
Yeah, who's that walking on the distance there?
That's Laura.
Oh, and then the arm's pointing at her, or waving at her.
Yeah. Okay, I think she's coming into a theater here. Oh, no, she's coming up the stairwell to that guy. Oh, no, sorry. It's not the theater yet. Okay, well, this is a repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what she said the first time she did when she came in?
I think so, yeah.
See how it went.
Yeah.
What's the chronology? Which is the very thing the audience is saying, right?
Right.
We've been saying it. But movies cause that situation. The electric environment lays a mind fuck on humans. They don't know it. They get adapted to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want books anymore. They can't read. It's too linear.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of visual space, as Gutenberg laid out. And she never said this before. When he's getting powerful.
Mm.
You see, when he... I forgot to tell you this. Now, we don't, that doesn't really look like him, does it?
Well, that's him. He's psyched out. He's freaked out. I'm not who you think I am.
Yeah. Because he's met with the rabbit people, and he has a new power.
Mm. I can't father children.
Which means he's excusing her of getting pregnant with someone else, right?
Oh, I guess, yeah.
That's why he's mad at her.
Right. He can't father children, and the woman that watches the TV can't give her husband a child.
That's right. That's the mirror reverse. Now, we don't know what this scene is. Or this is just her. It's going back to her realizing that he knows about... she screwed someone else or something. I'm not sure what this scene is. It sort of indicates she's remembering something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a metaphor for the whole movie, is we're remembering something. We're trying to remember which came when.
I don't know if it's significant that when she's having that memory, it's in color, and then it goes back to this sort of dull...
That might be Lynch's own color symbolism.
Yeah.
He keeps things in track by different lighting.
Yeah.
I'm not too keen on thinking about tomorrow. No more blue tomorrows. You know, when she's describing the end of the world, she goes, you know how they say, you know, you hear that in the Christian culture, we all know about the gnashing of teeth, the apocalyptic image in the Bible, right?
Right.
Like what she says, you know, how they say,
right.
Gnashing of teeth. Her son died. Okay, so that means she was fired by the husband, in a way, because it wasn't her kid.
Yeah.
Or she had an abortion, but she went into a bad way and forgot everything, and then she somehow reconnected with him and became a famous actress. Or is not connected at all.
Dark theater.
Now that's coming up. Isn't that from the neighbor woman? Didn't she tell that story? Dark. We heard that before.
I don't know.
I think she's going to describe what Laura goes through when she sees her image on the screen in a dark theater before the lights go up. He's so bored, he's heard the story 100 times.
I know, but why is she even confessing this to this weird guy? And now he poses a threat because he picks up the phone and says, yeah, she's here.
Yeah, because he's been through this 100 times, just another assignment. Remember, he was waiting for her. I don't get all that he says to her, but it sounds ominous what he says on the phone.
Right, and who's he talking to? Who's ringing the phone? Still here. There's the screwdriver. I don't think it'll be...
much longer, right? Unfortunately, the...
Crimp.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he's around here someplace, he said.
Ah, that's good. I didn't hear that before. Now, how did she get the screwdriver?
I don't know, but now she's leaving. Is she came in with it, I'm pretty sure.
Right, and is it the same one that was on the street who had the screwdriver?
Yeah.
Like, now we're seeing, this is what she did that night before she got killed. She
came now, the woman watching the TV will end up going down the same set of stairs at the end of the movie.
And maybe went up at...
And, and when she gets to the bottom of the stairs, she'll be in Smithy's house.
Right.
But now she's, right. like, leaving the...
There's
like,
the red curtain.
Yeah, the red curtain.
Sort of like a shrunken set. It's almost like the back alley.
Yeah. There's the...
So now she kind of... It doesn't look like the same Laura. This is
the beat-up Laura.
Okay, yeah, maybe, but she looks...
She's got that sore on the left side of her mouth, I think. I can't tell.
She just looks... As,
where have you been? They're asking her. Oh, somebody's hiding behind that tree.
Yeah,
could be Crimp.
Well, it's a girl.
I know it's a girl, but we don't know. Crimp might...
Someone's there.
Maybe Crimp can shapeshift.
Yeah.
And they're all miming her like she's nuts.
Now she can snap her finger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they did back in the house.
Right.
So, if you watch this movie again, you'd go back and say, oh, when she showed up with the government's therapist, it's this night. It's the night she gets killed. We're experiencing when she first shows up with the guy, right?
Shows right.
up with the therapist. We didn't know it was just before she got murdered that she was just... up there.
Right. Because he says, yeah, she's still here, and then he goes, no, it won't be much longer. And I think he means it won't be much longer before she's killed.
Yeah, yeah. And then you hear the word crimp.
Yeah. And then he says, yeah, he's around here somewhere. He goes, crimp? And then he goes, yeah, he's around here somewhere.
Like they know. Now here she comes.
Yeah, she grabs the screwdriver from her. She's been hypnotized to kill somebody. She says she'll know who it is when she sees it.
It's almost like she found the person with the screwdriver, which had been dug into her.
Yeah. Everybody's hysterical.
Typical normal human reaction. That's realistic, right?
Right.
Shape-shifting, mood-shifting. Mood has definitely changed.
Right.
See, I'm laughing because I've been through the movie two times.
Right.
My third time through it. I'm like the guy, the bureaucrat, therapist. I've seen this 100 times. Now, what's neat is it's all happening at the famous Star Walk there, right?
Right.
Which is it's now prostitute zone. It's a symbol of all these famous people.
Right. Yeah, all the celluloid heroes.
In the long run, we're just prostitutes. See, sometimes she looks prettier than when she was speaking to the bureaucrat.
Yeah. Well, there's different, seems to be different gradations between the suburban Laura and the beat-up Laura.
Right. But they've become, remember, they saw each other and then they became one person and went upstairs, right?
Right.
So they were originally separate people.
Right.
Now, this is going to lead into an interesting scene.
Yeah, this is a weird scene.
Now this Japanese woman, or Chinese, whatever she is, she's going to talk about her friend Nico, which is a variation of Nikki.
Oh yeah, who lives in Pasadena, Pomona. Or Pomona, yeah.
They're going to end up in the Pomona scene at the end of the movie. Hmm. You're dying, lady. Pretty wise.
She's staring off into the beyond.
The woman who says you're dying, lady, seems like she's seen this scene before.
Oh, yeah. She's like the Bardo guide.
Oh, yeah. That's, you remember that.
Or the shaman or something.
Yeah, that's incredible to have this homeless person, apparently homeless.
And then they get into this, like, totally dislocated conversation.
Right, but it's, you'll note, it's where they end up at the end of the movie.
Oh, really?
She describes the blonde, you'll see.
Yeah.
And the monkey. It's almost like...
See, the bus is a metaphor sometimes for the get you through the transit space.
Yeah, this is a metaphor for... How to die.
The bus and the subways are metaphors for going through the Bardos.
Is that in tradition?
Yeah. Hollywood and Vine. Didn't he do a movie? Did he do any movie around Hollywood and Vine? Or?
No. So Hollywood and Vine, that's the electric environment.
Yeah.
The media is going to confuse or do something to the Bardos. Hey, Nikki. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Asian version of it. But she's not going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
There's the question, what time is it?
Right. I don't know.
It's going to say after midnight. Yeah, see, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
After midnight. Okay, the blonde wig, we're going to see that in the end.
Right.
She wears it at parties. I like the way... the movie Hypnosis. Mm-hmm. It's almost like another version of being knifed, right?
Yeah. Intestine.
It's like another version of Nikki who survives for a while.
Yeah.
Getting knifed.
And who is blonde, and I don't know if she's wearing a wig, but...
Oh, Lynch commenting on the lack of universal health care.
Yeah. But Nikki can't see a doctor.
Going to see the monkey at the end of the movie.
Right.
The monkey face is a theme in other Lynch movies.
Mm.
Like this movie. There we go again. Good with animals.
Mm-hmm.
Now this woman in the shaman's going to do it with her, with Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Going to help her die, right?
Yeah.
Good with animals.
Yeah.
Documentary part. That's a real a human expression that the Chinese woman did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just sort of looking at it and a bit intimidated, curious. We're watching another movie about someone dying, Scott.
Right.
It's the same movie. You're just dying is all. That's all you're doing. You're just dying.
Yeah, just, you know.
That implies people, they're used to the people reincarnating or dying, you know.
Right.
It's been done many times. She has a pretty good therapy here. I show you the light now?
Mm-hmm.
Burns bright, but what?
Burns bright forever. No more blue tomorrows.
It's not exactly... Is that the name of the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you say? You high now?
I think so.
High.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
That's pretty amazing having this homeless person knowing what to do, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Doing a Dalai Lama on her.
Right.
Oh, turned the light out right when it happened. Another light.
Right.
Good scratches on her face there. Good realistic scratches.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the soul leaving and then... Ah, it's just a movie.
Right. See the camera watching the camera watching the script.
Yeah. So what you're going to have here is the Laura's going to go into another level.
Right.
Another vortex. You know, I was thinking when I saw this the other day that when the director says, what's wrong with Nikki, this could be part of the movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That his what when she gets up and wanders away... There's, check the gate, there's the extras that leave, but her walking away and going to the quandary could be a continuation of the movie they're making.
Mm-hmm.
So Leary, Lynch contemplates the difference between the natural light and the electric light, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a common theme.
Because that's the first time we hear her last name, Nikki Grace.
Yeah.
She's all zombied out. She just wanders off.
What she's refusing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a wardrobe, you know.
Mm. Now the director's concerned and makeup people are trying to get her cleaned up.
Beg your pardon?
The makeup people are trying to clean her up. She doesn't recognize the director.
Yeah, now she's going to walk into a theater and see. We're going to see Lynch present Media Xenocrity. Down there, the image, right?
Mm-hmm. She's leaving stage four, where this whole thing presumably was happening, being filmed.
This is like not in Poland anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Back in
right, she looks at through the TV at the woman watching the TV.
Right, and they're gonna hook up.
Yeah, there's this moment of recognition, and then she forgets again, turns away.
And if she looks through, then she's kind of like the rabbit. That's the interdimensional communication of television.
Mm. There's the red curtain.
Or the electric space, we call. Yeah, now. She walks into this place. Where is this? Is this another part of the Hollywood of the set?
Yeah.
See, now she's walking to a theater. The transition's pretty abrupt.
Right. This would probably be the preview house where they, you know, show movies on the set. Yeah.
Now look at this. My son died. Confronting the reality of a film world.
Mm-hmm.
It's her own reality, right?
And it's also replaying what she just went through. She doesn't know what's real.
Whoa.
There's the screwdriver.
You see, that's the guy answering the phone.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah.
And she's looking at the screwdriver.
There's that.
What's this scene here?
Lamp again.
See, she was somewhere else for a second there.
Mm-hmm. She was back at Smithy's house.
Yeah. Now, there's the bureaucrat therapist coming along. He's going to go up the stairwell, which was the stairwell that the woman with the arm with the silk, red silk, waved at when she went up to the guy's house. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That's the guy's office, I mean, house. But he's saying, you're the guy who's just on the movie.
Right.
So Lynch is showing how movies are real nature. They are real.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that this real is different from that real, then you're going to get into this dilemma here.
She goes up the stairs.
Remember McClellan said, media is us. They are us. Electricity is an extension of us. So, okay, so she's going up the stairs. She's already gone up there. Now she's redoing it. Or it's this Laura's first time. But she's not going to end up with him. This is the dark stairwell that began the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So is she dead? This is what happens when you die. You see your movies.
It's 10 after midnight. Maybe look like 11 after midnight.
Where are you seeing that?
Well, I saw a clock in the background.
There's the code. Did you see that quickly?
Yeah.
The XXNN. You saw a clock and it said after midnight?
Yeah, it was about 10 after, well, 12, 10, 11, 12 minutes after.
See, so the code is there. Is that the same place where the code was when she went into it the first time, you know, 2 hours ago?
Yeah, I think so. That's the room. That's the house where the drama was taking place. That's the house where she was slept with the two men.
Yeah, but do you see the AXXNN?
Mm-hmm.
Before, 2 hours ago when she walked into it, she ended up looking at the big set.
Right.
Have the rehearsal. Now it's led into this, or it was a different door and it was just the one she didn't go in, you know what I mean? But the positioning of the rooms is different, or that code showed up differently, showed up in another place.
Right.
Now here is where she gets the gun.
The gun.
That her husband got from the rabbit meeting up on the roof.
Right.
You know, up in the room with those old guys.
Yeah.
LB, what's that mean?
I don't know.
Laura Dern? LB. Which is actually, L is 12.
See, there's the clock on the wall.
Yeah,
10, about 12 after.
Yeah, but listen to this. The LB, L is the 12th letter. B is the second. There's your 122, which is what ANNXX adds up to.
Oh.
Now, who's going to believe that Lynch put LB on there to refer to 122? But if I say it, then it is. Yeah, see how that weird... You imagine the Lynch made that lamp? It's an odd-shaped lamp.
Right.
The white one there in the back room. So she's got the gun, and she's going to have to kill Crimp, which she already was told when she was in person. Then she goes and ends up getting knifed, and then she comes back and sees the guy doing it on the movie. And now she's going to act it out. You know what I mean?
Right.
The Crimp problem. I remember reading a review, they were complaining about there's so many dark areas in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like waste of space. They want to have nice settings.
Mm-hmm.
As a consumer of film. The LB could be a stamp she needed to get when she went into the club. You know how mm-hmm. clubs give you little stamps on your wrist?
Oh, yeah. There's Crimp.
Yeah, it's kind of like a happy tone, the piano, the music there, right? It's coming to an ending kind of tone. You notice that?
Right. This is the guy who hypnotizes everybody.
It's not her husband.
No, this is Crimp.
Yeah, you think Crimp does it all.
Oh, yeah, he's the guy who points his wiggly wag finger and goes...
Oh, you recognize... When they show that scene, you can see his face?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice that. When they actually showed...
This is also the guy in the beginning of the film who meets with the rabbit man and says, I'm trying to find a way in.
That guy is Crimp?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. And he's the guy who beats up the girls watching TV.
Right.
Okay. And yet we wonder about Laura's husband. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it to the prostitute girls at the beginning?
Yeah. Well, he got power from Crimp.
Yeah, maybe it's almost like this Polish world is a mirror of what's going on in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see this green stuff? That's like the rabbit zone. That's the color of the rabbit walls.
Yeah.
And she's going to see the number 47, which is the name of the movie, the first version it was made.
Hmm.
And I think she gets a shock at recognizing it. There it is.
Right. What do you mean it was the name of the first version?
When the director was telling them about the first version of the movie?
Oh, yeah, it was called 47?
It was called 47, which is the beginning of my chart, 1947.
Oh. He has that light in his face like her husband does in that scene where he's hitting her.
Right.
And he has and that intense light in his face.
But she can't kill him.
Now he's going into some really strange, blissed out, weird
It looks like that.
Zone.
It doesn't look like he's going to die.
No, he's morphing.
When his face, he's going to go back
yeah.
to the fifth dimension.
He's morphing.
Now, I read a review. They say when his face changes, it becomes, that's Laura's face.
Yeah, right there. That's right. And that one
so
scene.
No indication of the rabbit yet, but then it starts melting.
Right.
What's that? Oh, that's her looking, yeah.
There it is.
So, is that going to become the rabbit, or is that just...
I don't know. It never really quite crosses over to the rabbit,
but, like,
as far
he shot
as
him
I can
and
tell.
But by shooting him, he transforms, like it's another form of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, now there's, yeah, see, the rabbit.
Well, no, there's the rabbit, yeah, but...
Yeah, but the very last image, it started to look like a rabbit.
Yeah.
Became quite dark, like these rabbit heads. So she's going to back into this room. By shooting him, she has found, well, she found the 47. And so she's going to go into the room.
Mm.
Maybe if you re-listen to the movie and listen to the scenes with the rabbits, they're waiting for this to happen. Is it time yet? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Back, listen to the dialogue. It might fit with their expectation for her to come in. You know
right.
what I mean?
So she's backing into the 47 room, closes the door, turns around, sees an empty room.
Yeah, and the couch is there. You're going to see the couch. The red couch.
Oh, yeah.
See, this could be the beginning of the merger of the two dimensions, which is what I say about cold fusion, merging first and second nature.
Mm-hmm.
This could be symbolically what Lynch is getting at. Finally, the dimensions have come together. Or they're always recycling this pattern all the time. Every previous person got killed before.
Mm-hmm. What's that? Is that
the lyrics? What are the lyrics here? I think this was song was on at the beginning of the movie. Okay, she's a woman watching TV. And she's seeing the same scene. There's those two girls, always these two girls hanging around. Right?
Yeah.
And they're all happy. They're the ones that told her that they might tell her.
She recognizes that they actually are out in the hallway, and she's
yeah.
seeing them on TV.
And she sees herself. See, she's right now on the TV.
Right. Who's that in the doorway?
So this is two realities come. That this is Laura going to come.
Oh, yeah.
This is from after backing into the rabbit zone.
Yeah.
So in the rabbit zone, the TV is you.
Hmm. But notice...
You catching the lyrics? I can see something.
Right.
This is the reconnecting.
Yeah, now they're kind of...
Through the kiss.
Right. They're merging, and then Laura disappears, which means
right.
The only person that's left is the one who was watching TV in the beginning.
It was her old drama.
All her fantasy.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a fantasy, but it's her drama.
Yeah.
The whole movie was her drama.
Now she's becoming...
Positive, optimistic.
Yeah, she's...
Something's going to happen.
Something wonderful is about to happen. She leaves the building, 205, whatever that means.
No, officially.
Now she goes down that weird staircase that Laura went up and down.
The therapist.
Yeah. But instead of ending up on Hollywood Boulevard, she ends up in Smithy's house.
And Smithy House is the house that we were in at the beginning?
You see, it's the house where Laura had...
Had those scenes.
So, yeah.
Okay, is she in the house yet?
No, she's about to enter.
And they've already entered. They're
yeah,
entering.
Yeah, right.
Now, this is the young husband of Laura? The younger version?
Yeah.
The guy who couldn't have a...
Who couldn't have a father or child.
Right.
And there's the boy. Remember Laura said she had a boy?
Right.
She was pregnant.
Yeah, and then the boy died.
Yeah.
So she died, and she's in the Bardos and seeing that something did happen.
Yeah.
On another level. Now, his hair is messy like when he beat up Laura.
Right.
So, okay, so where would this be? The son didn't die in another dimension.
Right. Or he's...
She almost looks like...
That looks like the light she's going into when she dies or something.
Right.
The light that the shaman lady holds up.
Right, you know, the woman right then looked like a bit like the woman who was Billy's wife at a younger age.
Oh.
Maybe it's not that close.
No, I don't think it was the same woman.
Yeah, you're right.
Looked There's close. Laura. She reappears, and everybody's...
She's cheered on, because she's being cheered by the other dimension, the
yeah.
rabbit audience.
Right.
And she's standing there impassive like the original rabbit almost when he got cheered.
Yeah, but not stone-faced. She has emotion.
Yeah, she's a little bit... seems to be getting something out of it.
Yeah.
But maybe just that the rabbit mask makes you look like it's stone-faced. The rabbit might be getting some kind of emotion.
Maybe. But it's not... the rabbit's not human emotion. She's got a kind of... quasi-human emotion going there.
So what you have here is, this is the Hollywood syndrome. You have millions of people loving you. And that's the seduction that leads to all these problems.
Mm.
To get to this point where all these people are cheering you.
Right.
Is it worth it? And yeah, there's the metaphor for the light that the black homeless lady is flashing at her.
Yeah.
So there's two kinds of happiness. No,
you know, look at the overlay.
The evil lady.
Yeah.
The neighbor, and she's watching this, and she's seen it 100 times. She's the hidden ground.
Yeah. And now she doesn't look quite
now
so...
Now they're back together.
Yeah.
Would say, you were going to say...
She didn't look quite so diabolical now. She looks like...
happy.
Yeah, like things worked out the way they were supposed to.
Okay, so now she's going to see herself.
Right. This is almost like the end of 2001 Space Odyssey, where he sees himself.
Right. So so Lynch is showing us that, in a sense, the actress, the movie world is a real world. It's part of you. You see it. It's sort of separate, but it's there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Then they cut to the... credits, which also have more...
The party.
Yeah,
this
the party.
This is the party in Pomona. She's arrived at Pomona.
Oh, you think that's Pomona?
Well, you'll see. The characters, Nikki, Nico with the wig is there, the monkey's there, all the people that the Chinese woman was describing. So, metaphorically, she's gotten to Pomona, like we said. There's the one-legged woman.
Right.
You know what I mean? We've gotten to Pomona.
Yeah.
Which was a metaphor.
Where did we first hear about the one-legged woman?
Way back there. I don't know if it was the evil neighbor or some early story.
But we've never seen this woman before.
No.
But she goes sweet, just like that one of the blonde woman
right,
in the...
Right. And you notice her face is a bit spooky looking, like if you take the woman and watch TV, the whole thing.
There's the blonde woman with the wig.
Yeah.
That's Nico, and the monkey.
But the
that
one
shits all over the place.
Is the monkey beside her?
Yeah.
Now,
and then this woman...
The woman, let me say this. The woman just before we first saw with the stick leg, she looked a bit weird with her face, slightly like a frozen Laura face.
Why is Laura blowing kisses at this weird woman?
That's a frozen Laura face.
Yeah.
Because they're lesbians.
Oh.
She kissed that woman. But she got a boyfriend.
Yeah. Oh, that's Hollywood for you.
Yeah. But this is Pomona.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this her home, where she was just sitting?
Not in the beginning of the film, no.
No, right just a minute ago.
I don't think so.
Laura looked at the
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's a different place. It's Pomona.
Yeah.
There's the log man sawing the log, which is takeoff on the log lady of
Twin Peaks. Yeah. Then here comes the gal, the women.
And they're going to do karaoke.
Right.
But... Now, look at the names here. Last girl, Carolina. The actress
Oh, it's with a K.
The woman watching TV is named Carolina.
Right. So that was Carolina.
The image, which Lynch has in other movies.
Uh-huh.
What were you going to say? Diane
so
Ladd, Marilyn Levin. See, that was the TV, Barbara Walters, was Diane Ladd.
Oh.
Who's been in other Lynch movies.
Oh.
Now, this girl, the leading, singing the Nina Simone song, she's cute. She's
yeah.
She's cute at it.
Right.
A nice, optimistic, hopeful, youthful spirit, right?
Right.
So the cycle starts over again. These are girls auditioning for Hollywood.
All right.
You get some semi-professional piano player, you know, doing the rehearsal, helping for the rehearsal.
Right.
Wonder when she did this song. Special appearances by Natasha Kinski and Laura Herring. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know who were they. Maybe they were one of the 1920s people.
Yeah, that could be.
Naomi Watts did a voice performance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
What, those names?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in the bonus thing, he talks about an encounter he has with Naomi Watts.
Who does?
Lynch.
In the DVD feature?
Yeah, in the bonus features.
Now, what's interesting is this mature Nina Simone voice. It's neat the way Lynch makes this effect. The mature Nina, older woman voice in this young woman.
Right.
It's like out of sync. It doesn't come across as bad, but if you think about it, it's odd.
No, I knew right away it was odd the first time I saw it.
Was that right?
Yeah. And then the weird thing was, I guess you could say it was a coincidence. A couple days later, on the jazz station, I hear this song, and I go to the jazz station to see who the artist is. That's when I discovered it was Nina Simone. And I looked up Nina Simone to look at her picture, and I go, that's not that woman.
Yeah, oh, okay. It took a while.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there's the electric environment replaying different times for you. No wonder you don't know what time it is. You see a movie, then you hear it on the radio 2 days later, and you look it up, and you end up on this loop.
Right.
No wonder your memory's scattered.
Yeah.
What time is it? It was Zappa's question.
You know, another weird synchronicity, you know, in the beginning of the film, and then it's repeated later in the film, you know, actions do have consequences.
Yeah.
I watched two movies subsequent to watching this movie, and both of them had that line in it.
Really?
Yeah. And they weren't related in any way. It wasn't like they were trying to
refer to this movie.
Yeah.
But another aspect is that a lot of Hollywood is what were called the medieval morality plays.
Yeah.
They're always trying to tell people things have consequences, but actually in the Lynch world, they don't have any consequences. Look at where this thing all ended up. Nice happy party. Who's getting the consequences?
Yeah.
If you think of consequences as dark, which is what her husband said it would be. Dark
yeah.
consequences. So why does Lynch end with this sort of happy ending?
Well, I don't know. He's got to give us a relief after putting us through all that torture.
Well, the mother got, the young girl got her kid back.
Yeah.
So that's what they're celebrating. So it ends up having a happy ending. So it actually did have a narrative. The reviewers say this movie has no narrative.
Right.
But I see the thing was logical to me from one step to another if you think of the different environments involved, not just the doubleness of dreaming and reality.
Right.
If you see the effects of... He's trying to show that the media environment confuses people's traditional chronology.
Mm-hmm. Now,
does he become a monkey, or the monkey just is dancing beside him?
Yeah, I think it's just dancing next
yeah,
to him.
Beside him. And it's all the Inland Empire.
Right.
The Inland Empire causes all this confusion for cultures.
Right.
About what time it is. The Inland Technological Environment. So he's showing you what... He's studying the effects of Hollywood and modern media. And it's been going on for the Telegraph.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you put that level of interpretation on there, it could be acknowledged as making sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do that, and you're just thinking, oh, here's a woman who's seeing different parts of herself metaphorically, and she's going through a breakdown, and then she ends up happy, it doesn't make any sense. Because that's only one level, and it's not a one-level thing. But it's not two levels, which would be her own psyche's drama and her dream and her hallucination, her own problems, and then reality, that dialectic. No, there's the movie metaphor, the Hollywood metaphor, the technological level of doubleness that complements the doubleness of a human being going through real and dream.
Right? Mm-hmm. And this back to the needle moving over the or the
dust on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's really weird because the thing moving under the needle looks metallic. It doesn't really look anything like a vinyl record, and yet the needle looks like the needle you would see on the stylus you would see on an old phonograph. Record player, except that the needle isn't pointed. It's not sharp enough to actually play in the grooves.
Yeah, it seems some kind of industrial phase. Maybe it's the making of the first album. It's how you make. Back then, you made the first disc this way, the master disc.
Oh, that's right. You carved it in metal and then used that as the mold to mold the vinyl.
Yeah.
But the needle would be sharp. It wouldn't be dull like that. But then with all the hairs and stuff hanging off of it, you can see it's not...
Could be sharp. It could be sharp if you got rid of the hairs. Maybe sharper than you can see.
Yeah, I noticed... you won't see it. I can't see it here, but in the beginning of the film when you hear the radio voice and they start shifting the light around so that the shadow against the needle changes, all of a sudden the needle looks sharp. But in right here, it looks more like a nail than a stylus.
Right. It looks sharper, you're saying, in the beginning.
Yeah.
Once the movie starts.
Right.
So what you have here, this is, you know, don't they say, the mystics say, that every event and every thought is recorded?
Yeah, on the Akashic Records.
Yeah, so this is the technological etching in for the human Akashic Records, which is the Hollywood Archive.
Right.
And so we have two etchings going on. So it's a very appropriate image to symbolize the way I'm interpreting the movie.
Right.
This is the best image. It's showing the etching of the grooves that are always there and are going to recycle.
Oh, yeah.
The consequences of actions.
Right.
It's an etching of a timeline that's been carved into stone, metaphorically, into the Akashic Records. And then you have these people, human souls, that living it out, mixed in with media environments. So when Nikki gets confused on the set and is mixing up her affair, if she is having one, she's mixing up the her own memories, etching of her personal experience with the etching of the electronic technology that's recording everything.
Right. But it's also mixed in with this sense of violating boundaries, you know, being in the infidelity and
take that as the violating of boundaries and the violating of the bonds. That's what the rabbit world represents. They come into our world, interact with it, create scenes, all anticipating the kind of eventual accepted crossing over, which happens at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And she goes into the rabbit zone and is cheered.
Mm-hmm.
That's another kind of happy ending. So she has a happy ending as an actress, and it's like the actress wants to be audience devotion, and the consumer, who's not an actress but watches the movies or the TV, she just wants to have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Two kinds of babies. The actress wants to have the audience as her baby, the love of that general mass devotion, and the average person just wants to have the devotion of a family.
Right.
so the actress is enhancing the development of technological environments. The need to be in them makes the invention of them, or the continuing of them. Like, what would happen if they invented a movie, everybody went and watched it, and they said, oh, that was fun, okay, get rid of it, we don't want it anymore. They don't do that. The movies keep being made.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the same themes, same basic themes. I think it was Joyce said once that all novels can, or stories can come down to about 36 types. All literature can only have about 36 stories.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
So, is this it? What is it here? It's right now here. It's